Well, praise the Lord. I was really going to give my sermon first and then do the song service, because that's the way I should have done it. Because God said, I want my people in America to celebrate their freedom this Sunday. And this is why we had the songs we sang, because God wanted us to be celebrating, really celebrating our freedom. And, you know, I hope you don't get tired of singing, because if you get tired of singing, then that means your spirit man's not where he should be. Because we're in here to praise the Lord. So you just keep yourselves, you know, and you just really need to really learn to praise the Lord. See, if we would be really praising the Lord the way we ought, because there's people in here that really need a touch of God today. And I sit there and pray, God, please, please, please touch these people. Set them free. Heal them. Deliver them. And, you know, it's because we are not in all one mind and one accord. As we praise the Lord, God can't move and drop himself the way he wants to. And we just have to get this together so that, God can do what he, and during praise and worship is all the times that I've been doing the ministering, it's always been during praise and worship that God did the signs, wonders, and miracles. It was always as people were totally surrendered to him, you know, and praising him, that he really dropped his glory. So I just want you to think about this, meditate upon this, and understand you're just not here to sing a few songs. You know, if we decide to sing all service, could you endure that? You know, could you really endure singing all service? You can if everybody's hearts were right and everybody is in one mind and one accord. We're just going to go in the house of God, and whatever God decides to do, he's going to do. There were some really excited tonight and others were not. But see, this morning, we need to really get it together. Please, guys, we really, you know, you guys come just about every service. We need to get it together so God can send the lost souls in. All right. Father, I just thank you for all that you've done here this morning already. And Father God, there's so much more that needs to be done. I'm asking that you send your angelic host in this building right now. And Father God, let them go throughout these seats and touch each person. Meet their need, Father God, right where they're at this morning. Change, set free, deliver, Father. Heal the brokenhearted. Heal the wounds that are deep down inside the soul, Father. Set the captives free. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I really wished I was going to have tonight's service for this morning's service, but I wanted to get the celebrating in this morning because the way God wants it. This is an exciting time to be alive, as we have been listening to everything the Lord has been speaking these past few months about what is ahead for the church and how to position ourselves with his prophetic promises. We can conclude that it's going to be an incredible time of shifting, fulfillment, victory, and turnaround for us all. One amen. Do you understand what I just said? Let's hear it again. This is an exciting time to be alive, as we have been listening to everything the Lord has been speaking these past months about what is ahead for the church and how to position ourselves with his prophetic promises. We can conclude that it's going to be an incredible time of shifting, fulfillment, victory, and turnaround for us all. Us all. Just not one or two of us, but everybody sitting in this room, in the sound of my voice, is going to be victory time for every one of us. 15 is a biblical number tied to celebration and rest after a victory or harvest. How many years ago did God tell us, about 2 years ago, he said, you are in the victory circle. And this is when he told me to start having the music we're having and start singing, dancing, and rejoicing and have party time. Now, a lot of people don't agree with what we do, but I really don't care. See, we are supposed to be in a time of partying. We are supposed to be in a time of rejoicing. Chuck Pierce says all they're going to do today is just they're going to sing and praise the Lord. They're just going to have a party time. Then after their service, in fact, they changed their whole services all around. After their service, they're just going to go have something to eat and just keep singing and rejoicing. You know, this is the time, you know, God wants us to understand we are in victory. We are not in some drudgery place in a dark hole somewhere. We are in total and complete victory in every area of our lives. Okay, so then God told us we are in the victory circle. How many of you act like you're in the victory circle? Not just one day, but every day of your life. Life is just going to happen. Things are going to come down in your life that you weren't expecting. But guys, that does not mean you're not in the victory circle. You are in the victory circle. During Chuck Pierce's Wednesday night service, God spoke, "I want my people in America to celebrate their freedom this Sunday. The Feast of Tabernacles, Unleavened Bread, and Purim all happen on the 15th day of the month. It is a Hebraic calendar year 5775, which is a double portion number, a double portion of grace and favor to see fulfillment, completion, and finishing." Don't you want this? A double portion of grace and favor to see fulfillment, completion, and finishing. I don't know, but, all right, this is a great turnaround time. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of what I've been going through. I'm done with it, and I want to move on to the greater things that God is calling us forth to do. I'm so sick and tired of the enemy beating and beating and beating. You know, it's time he gets under our feet and stays there continually, day after day after day after day, and he should not be able to bring us down, but we should be so far above him that we don't even know what he's even doing. We don't care what he's doing. We might see what he's doing, but we really don't care. It's not affecting us in any way, shape, or form because we're so high up there. Amen? The great turnaround. One of the main scriptures for this turnaround year of double portion, deliverance, and victory is found in Esther 9. So we're going to read Esther 9, 1 through 19. On the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, the king's order came into effect. This was the very day that the enemies of the Jews had planned to overpower them, but the tables were now turned. The Jews overpowered those who hated them. You see that? The Jews had gathered in the cities throughout King Araxes' provinces to lay hands on those who were seeking their ruin. Not one man was able to stand up against them. Fear made cowards of them all. What's more, all the government officials, satraps, governors, everyone who worked for the king actually helped the Jews because of Mordecai. They were afraid of him. The enemy should no longer have a sway over any one of our lives. The enemy should fear us continually. Mordecai by now was a power in the palace. As Mordecai became more and more powerful, his reputation had grown in all the provinces. So the Jews finished off all their enemies with a sword, slaughtering them right and left, and did as they pleased to those who hated them. Let's read that again. So the Jews finished off all of their enemies, with a sword, slaughtering them right and left, and did as they pleased to those who hated them. In the palace complex of Susa, the Jews massacred 500 men. They also killed the 10 sons of Haman, son of Hamath, the archenemy of the Jews. Verse 10, they took no plunder. They killed their enemy, but they took no plunder. See, sometimes we want our enemies killed, and I want repaid 100-fold. Amen. Why not just kill the enemy? Why just not put him under your feet and keep him there? That day when it was all over, the number of those killed in the palace complex was given to the king. The king told Queen Esther, "In the palace complex alone here in Susa, the Jews have killed 500 men, plus Haman's 10 sons. Think of the killing that must have been done in the rest of the provinces. What else do you want? Name it and it's yours. Your wish is my command." God placed Esther in the palace for such a time as that, so that the Jews could be set free This Haman guy, he planned on killing the Jews, but because Esther was in the palace and found favor in the king's eyes, and only God can make her do that, right? God made her find favor in the king's eyes, then the thing turned around and the Jews killed their enemies instead of their enemies killing them. In verse 13, Esther says, if it pleases the king, Queen Esther responded, give the Jews of Susa permission to extend the terms of the order another day and have the bodies of Haman's 10 sons hanged in public display on the gallows. She must have been very upset. She wants another day of plunder or of killing. And then not only that, she wants the 10 sons on display so everybody can see what her God has done for her people. The king commanded it. The order was extended. The bodies of Haman's 10 sons were publicly hanged. The Jews in Susa went at it again. On the 14th day of Adar, they killed another 300 men in Susa. But again, they took no plunder. Meanwhile, in the rest of the king's provinces, the Jews had organized and defended themselves, freeing themselves from oppression. Then on the 13th day of the month of Adar, they killed 75,000 of those who hated them, but did not take any plunder. That was a time of really slaying the enemy, right? The next day, the 14th day, they took it easy and celebrated with much food and laughter. We should be slaying the enemy at every turn. God's been saying we need to get the joy of the Lord. And we're also skinny. We need to eat and have a party. Amen? Come on, God has been telling us to party. I know you all knew how to party when you was in the world. Now, come on now. So why don't you just party for Jesus? But in verse 18 says, but in Susa, since the Jews had banded together, on both the 13th and 14th days, they made the 15th their holiday for laughing and feasting. This accounts for why Jews living out in the country in the rural villages remember the 14th day of Adar for celebration, their day for parties and the exchange of gifts. Remember, God told us, it's Christmas time and I'm giving you gifts. And I want you to party. I want you to rejoice before me. He hasn't given me an order to stop either, by the way. He has not told me to stop the partying. Remember, we always had the balloons. And he hasn't told me to change the music, so we're not going to do anything until God says so. It's still party time. This tells us of the decree of death and destruction released by Haman against the Jews, authorizing the people of the land to kill them and take their possessions on the 13th day of the 12th month of Adar. But Esther 8:8, Esther wrote a new decree in the king's name, and sealed it with the king's ring, that the Jews had a right to defend themselves and kill those who were trying to kill them. I'm going to tell you right now, Haman was Satan, right? Satan has sent out a decree that he's going to destroy God's children, but God himself has written a new decree saying, Satan, you're finished slaughtering my children. You're done, and now you're going to be the defeated one. Now, you have to get this in your spirit this morning, because this is where the body of Christ is at. God has already sent out a decree to hell, you will let my people go. You have tormented them long enough, and now you're going to let my people go. Now, see, my people, Jesus' people, God's people, have got to understand that Satan has a decree saying, let them go, and you have to make sure he lets you go. Quit allowing him to torment you. This carried over. Well, okay, so then let's go back to Esther 8:8. Esther wrote a new decree in the king's name and sealed it with the king's ring, that the Jews had a right to defend themselves and kill those who were trying to kill them. Is this where we say, whatever the enemy's doing to me, I send it back to the enemy? Whatever the enemy's trying to do with you, and it's really tickled me, because about 8 years ago, one of my daughters came to me and said, you're going to have a heart attack and die. I said, no, I'm not. You know, whoever told you that, they're going to have the heart attack and they're going to die. And I'm watching that thing being reversed. You know, you go ahead and speak evil against me, you dummy, because it's going to go right back to you again. And it's going to happen to you and not to me. I'm not receiving any of your decrees that you're sending against me. We have a right to send it back to the sender. So why are we receiving everything the enemy's placing upon our bodies? This carried over into the 14th day when they finished destroying those against them. On the 15th day, they had a feast, a celebration of joy, that God had delivered them from their oppressors. This is that day. It is a time of turnaround. Their turn started in the 13th year, 2013, continued through 2014, and we will see great fulfillment in 2015. And this is why God's told us to celebrate before 2015 ever got here. This is our celebration year. One of the words he put out was, this is our year of Jubilee. So can you receive it or not? Come on, you know, guys, you have to receive. You have to believe what I'm telling you this morning, then you have to receive it. God no longer wants you held in a prison cage. He wants to see you totally and completely set free now, so that you can enjoy the rest of the year. I was reading that article that Sister Nancy sent me, Nancy Connell, about Perry Stone said it, because of the signing of the same-sex marriage, we're going to have 10 days of rain and thunder. So I don't know what day that was, but that's why we're getting all this rain and all this wind and everything that's going on. It's because of them signing the same-sex marriage. Some of you in here today, you need to write a new decree over your life for the upcoming season of time. You just need to sit down and write a new decree over your life. Quit allowing the enemy to write what's going to happen in your life. Every day I said, devil, you're finished in my home. You're finished in my life. You're finished in my children. You're finished in the church. I'm writing a decree. I'm decreeing a thing, and it shall come to pass. You are finished, period. No question mark. You are finished, period. And the enemy's not going to have any more sway in my home. I am so fed up with him coming into my home day in and day out. When I wake up, there he is, smiling in my face, ready to do his evil work for the day. Well, I'm done with that. We need to be smiling in him, laughing in his face, and said, you can't even get started here today. Your assignment over this home is broken. Your assignment over this family is broken. Your assignment over my kids are broken, and we are free. Yeah, we're going to have to do that, guys. Nobody's going to do it for you. You're going to have to, each one, you've got to do it in your own home. Because the enemy's after the family. He's after marriages. You know, he's after everything that's godly. So unless you decree to him, no, you don't come here, you don't do this, he's going to keep right on coming. He's going to keep right on doing. If he laughs in your face and said, you have no power and authority, yeah, I do. This is my year of Jubilee. This is my year of celebration. This is my year of coming out. This is my total year of victory, and I'm receiving it. And you have to leave. We're already, what, about halfway through? January, February, March, April, May. About halfway through this year already. So we've already wasted 6 months. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get with the program. Let's start enjoying the things that God has given us. Let's just start allowing the world to see that we are not a defeated bunch of people. They don't want us. We walk into the house of God with a long face. We walk out with a longer face. You know? This shouldn't be. We should be leaving here laughing. The neighbors should see us leaving here laughing and rejoicing. They should see us coming in laughing and rejoicing. Amen? Who wants to go to a church where all the members go in with a sour face and leave with a sour face? I don't. We parked in this little alley and we was getting ready to get out. Well, there was some ants in the car, and we put the baby seat in there. I didn't realize it had ants on the bottom, so ants were running all over the seat. And Gabriel was throwing a fit, and then Larry was throwing a fit because he was throwing a fit. And I'm saying, Gabriel, just get out of the car, please, and shut the door. And they're going to get me. And I said, shut the door and get out and shut the door. And I'm thinking, here the neighbor's window's open. Here the pastor and her family are acting like a bunch of fools getting out of the car to go in there and worship the Lord. Come on. Then the baby starts screaming because he doesn't want to quit riding. He wants to ride some more. He's jumping up and down, throwing a fit, and throws himself on the cement. That's the pastor and his family. We ought to go to that church. That's what happened out here this morning before I walked in here. All because five ants are running around to see the car. You're laughing, but I bet some of you had about the same thing happen to you. Come on. And you see, what happens is the enemy, how many of you can, all week long, your mornings are fine, but Sunday morning, everybody gets up, everybody's in an uproar, you know, this happens, that happens, something. Now, it's every Sunday morning. Don't you have a clue what's going on by now? The enemy wants to get you so discouraged, you say, oh, forget it, and don't even get dressed and go to church. I say, we're going to church no matter what, devil. Come on, your kids are getting dressed. I'm carrying, running up and down the hallway trying to get your clothes on you. I'm tired of saying this and that and the other. Get dressed so we can go. I don't care how we go out the door, we're going to go. The devil's not going to defeat us. Are you listening here? Right now is a fight to come into get ready to come to the house of God. Fight. Fight. And I was praying all over the house. Devil, you're a liar in Jesus' name. You know, the kids were carrying on, and he wasn't going to defeat me. And this is what we have to do day in and day out. Take control of the situations in your life. Quit allowing the enemy to control. All right. Some need to write a new decree over your life. All right, I was going to tell you right now, since I've been decreeing new things over my life, the devil's working overtime. So get ready for the fight of your life now. Because he's going to work through everything now, not just a few things, but everything he's going to work through. I'm just telling you what's going on with me, and so I know what's going to go on with you too. See, he has more fortitude than you do. He doesn't give up. I mean, he just goes on and on and on and on, and then he goes on some more. The body of Christ, so he fights us for 5 minutes. Oh, well, what's the use to them? We give up. And we shouldn't do that. We need to fight. That's when we need to stand and really fight. Amen. And if your spouse gets ignorant with you, say, devil, get out of them now in the name of Jesus. And you shut up and you leave. Get yourself ready and we're going to go. Because that's the way it's going to work. The devil's going to get in your spouse and they're going to get up in your face and carry on like a fool, fight with the kids. It's a zoo. I have never had to fight so hard to get out of the house. It's what I have the last two Sundays. Something great's about ready to happen. It really is. You know, I got up yesterday feeling all that doom. And then I found out last night that they closed down a lot of things because they were expecting terroristic attacks on the 4th of July. And they just closed down a lot of their things they had going. So that must have been what I was feeling. It was total doom. But you and I said to my husband, I said, you know what? You know, they threaten they're going to do this on the 4th of July. So what does America do? They shut everything down. They become their prisoner. Because they're so afraid they're going to attack. Isn't that what happened? Yep, fear. Somebody said fear. Absolute fear. I said, now what did we defeat? Nothing. Whoever it was won. The terrorists won. And we lost. God is mobilizing angels to see the things we decree come to pass. If you was here Friday night, you saw that you would have seen that there slide that Brother Brett played where these angels were all in the room. And I got so excited back there, I couldn't understand myself. And how the angels are in the room dancing and rejoicing and doing things. And this is what we need to say, God, open up my spiritual eyes so I can see the angels also. You know, that's such an encouragement. It really does encourage you about the angels when you actually see it literally happening. Thank you for playing that. That was a really good slide. 2015 is a year of divine reversals. Reversals, saints. I heard the Lord say that this would be a year of divine reversals. As a matter of fact, in Esther 9:1, when it speaks of the decree of Haman, it says of that day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. The word turned in this verse is the Hebrew word HAPHAK is the Strong's number 2015. It means to overturn, to change, to overthrow, to turn around, to transform, to be reversed. You know, I found myself saying all week long, devil, you just do not understand what you did to me. Everything you were trying to do to me is now going back onto you. And you're going to know what true torment's all about. You know, the devil does not understand what he's doing to a child of God, and you're all children of God. And when he's been coming against you and he's been harassing you and fighting you, he doesn't understand that now, just like Jesus hanging on the cross, forgive them, they know not what they do. The devil did not understand the power and authority that he released whenever he killed Jesus. See, the devil does not know the power and authority that he has released in us this year to defeat him at every turn. We have the power and authority. Use it. Defeat him. I was so upset because a few things, you know, didn't take place here this morning. You know, God wants to move. Let's quit allowing the enemy to stop the movement of God. Let's just get with the program. A couple of you got with the program, and I saw God moving through you. But the rest of us have to get with the program and allow God to move through us all at one time. This is your divine reversal. As a matter of fact, I said all that, didn't I? As a matter of fact, I heard the Lord say this would be a boomerang year. As we know, a boomerang gets thrown out and then returns to the one that threw it. You should get so delirious when the enemy does something. You should start laughing till you pee yourself. Because you could just see that thing going right back to the enemy, right back to the person that threw it to you. It's going right back to them. If this is the year of the boomerang, which God says it is. Are you listening here? You know, if you would just understand that God is watching everything that's going on in our lives, and he doesn't want the enemy to be able to assault us any longer, but we should be assaulting the enemy. That's just what I'm hearing, so I'm saying it. Come on. Let's get up and on our two feet, and let's understand that God is in control. The devil is not. Every child of God, every born-again child of God that's serving God, you are in control. The devil is not. The God inside of you is in control. The devil outside of you is not. And you need to start letting everybody around about you see who's in control. God is going to cause every curse and every assignment from hell to be turned right back upon the head of our spiritual enemy. Haman built gallows to hang the Jews, but he ended up being hanged on his own gallows. I got so excited when I was reading Esther. I said, devil, you are in for a torment of your life. All those things you have planned for me are off. God told me they're for naught. And so all that stuff's going to go right back in your head. And really, truly, I really do walk around my house laughing out loud because I said, you devil's in here. You just don't know. I'm the victorious one. You are the defeated one. Amen. I just get all giggly inside because, you know, the devil thinks he has me where he wants me. But guess what? I have the devil where I want him, under my feet, under the authority of Jesus Christ. And he can harass all he wants. But guess what? His day of harassment's over. Amen. It wasn't only Haman who was destroyed, but also his 10 sons. So they couldn't come back again to retaliate. We just don't kill the devil, kill all of his little cohorts too. Amen. God is boomeranging the curses of hell right back on the enemy. In the Message translation, Esther 9:25 reads, but when Queen Esther intervened with the king, he gave written orders that the evil scheme that Haman had worked out should boomerang back on his own head. That was in the Message translation. God is turning the curse to a blessing for us because he loves us. Deuteronomy 23:5, nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you. Read that again in Deuteronomy 23:5. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, But the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. We're not walking under any more curse. We're walking under every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're walking into total victory circle, and the enemy has no right. He has no place. He cannot do anything unless you allow him to. So don't give in to the sway of the evil one. Quit listening to what he has to say. Your mind should be renewed. Your mind should be stayed on Christ. And your mind should be only thinking good things, positive things, and no negative thing. Now, if you can't believe that God's going to fulfill your promises, then he won't. He's promised us that this year he's going to fulfill every promise that he has given us. So do you believe that? If you do, then receive it. Quit acting like God is, I'm just hearing God say, quit acting like he's out of control. God is not out of control, the devil is. Are you listening? The devil is out of control, God is not. God is also bringing divine reversals in situations that experienced a downturn. He is bringing a reversal of fortunes, a reversal out of death into life, a reversal out of sickness and pain into healing and wholeness. God is turning everything around. Please believe that. I get so upset when I see somebody come up the altar for the same thing over and over and over again. Believe what God told you and then receive it. Quit thinking you still have the thing that God took away. Because when you think it's still there, you've opened the door and the enemy comes right back in to harass and entertain himself in your vessel. He's standing there laughing at you because you will not receive your freedom from Christ. Come on. Marriage is on the verge of divorce, can experience divine reversal and a renewal of love and hope for the future. Even in the United States of America, God has determined to bring some significant divine reversals back to a place of righteousness and justice. He's been talking about he's going to get into the courtrooms and stuff like that and turn things around. Well, I believe that. I really do believe that all the injustice that's been done, God's going to put godly people in the courthouses and in Washington, and things are going to turn around for the good of America. So get ready for your divine reversals. Make a list to see what needs to be reversed and returned to you. Make a list of all the things that the devil has stolen from you. And then decree that it's all reversed. That he has to give you back everything he stole from you. Our health, you know, our children, you know, our finances, everything he's stolen. Now, we all know that God allowed us to go through a Job experience. We all know that. Individuals, the whole body of Christ went through a Job experience. But the Job experience is over. And Job had more in the end than he had in the beginning. You know, sometimes people like wallowing in self-pity. And so instead of them saying, my Job experience is over, they're staying in the Job experience. Oh, poor me, look at me. Get out of here. No, poor you, no, look at me, poor thing. You're free in Christ Jesus. Why do you think Jesus hung on that cross? Why do you think he went down into hell and fought the devil for 3 days and 3 nights and brought the keys of hell back to the church? Because we have power and authority over the dark spirit of darkness, the world of darkness. We have power and authority. They don't have the power and authority. They'll come at us. I didn't say they wouldn't. They will exert some authority that they think they have, and they do have some. But we have more authority than they do. Do demons exist? Yes, they do exist. Do they harass people? Yes, they harass people. Are they inside of people? Yes, they're inside of people. But God has made a way of escape for all of this. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. It's the sword of the Lord. We have all power and all authority. Satan. Do you ever see people just stand up, you know, they think they get real loud and big and bad, and that, you know, everybody's scared to death of them? Well, that's the devil. He's just blowing off. He's just acting big and bad. He doesn't have the authority you think he has. Destroy him in your life. Get him out of your mind. Get him out of your circumstances. And you take control through Christ Jesus over the circumstances in your life. Come on. Like I say, life is just going to happen. We're just going to have to go through down certain roads. I heard a song the other day. It was really good. Nothing bad ever comes to me unless it first goes through Christ. Anything bad that ever happens to me, first of all, has to go through Jesus. The rest of the song is beautiful, too. But did you ever think of that? Anything that comes into your life, first of all, had to go through Jesus, and Jesus had to approve it. So many of us, when these tests come, we fail them. We forget that, first of all, Satan had to go before the throne of God and ask to have you to torment you. So if you were going through a Job experience, read about Job. He always went before God saying, I want that person. He was trying to prove, every one of us had been sifted. Satan was trying to prove to God that we would leave God if he sifted us long enough and hard enough. But God knew he wouldn't. But what did Jesus tell Peter? I'll be praying for you, Peter. So even when Satan asked for us to sift us, Jesus is constantly praying for us. Constantly interceding for us because he does not want us to fail. And he said to Peter, and when you return. So he knew Peter was going to fall, but he knew as long as he was praying, Peter was going to get back up again. And Peter was going to be more powerful than he was before he fell. So if you've fallen, Jesus was praying for you all along, and it's time to quit your mess and get back up again because Jesus is saying, come on, I'm praying, get up and get rid of your mess and come on, let's do the works we have to do for the body of Christ. Amen. I think it was in that slide that Brother Brett played the other day from Sid Roth where Jesus went, remember, to the mother's heart and spoke to her and said, would you have another baby for me? And he said, you don't have to if you don't want to, but I have an individual who wants to be born at this time. For a purpose. I thought that was awesome. It's everything we've been teaching about. So she agreed. And God's using this young man mightily. Do you really understand why you're even here? You know, so Satan got a hold of you, did a few things that threw you for a loop, just like Joseph. But that doesn't make you null and void. Doesn't make you, you know, where you can't do anything for God. That should be making you stronger. If you could only realize that really you're not really a human being, if you really think of it that way. God did say to this lady, I have an individual who wants to be born now for his destiny. Then that means you were in heavenly places. And you're not a human being. You're from the spirit realm. That's why God is saying spirit calls to spirit. You know, the spirit of God that was in you when you was up there is still in, and God's called to that spirit. It's saying, come forth, come alive, come forth, come forth, come forth. It doesn't want you to say, God doesn't want you to sit here and disintegrate. You were called here for such a time as this. You know, when I was first born again in 77, I said, God, I wasted all my life. He said, no, you didn't. Everything you've gone to, he said, you were predestined to do this. And everything you're going through from the time you was born till now had a plan and a purpose. And it has. Everything I've gone through, I've given a testimony of, and it's helped multitude of people. So, see, your time was not wasted is what I'm trying to say. You know, don't say, oh, I wish I was born again. 50 years ago, you wouldn't have been any different than you are today. God knows exactly what time to pull you forth to do the works that you're supposed to be doing. And in the meantime, he's teaching us. You know, you have to be taught by the Lord. And how he teaches you is through your experiences that you go through in life. That's how you're taught. And you know, you can either make it a good experience or you can make it a bad experience. You can either grow from it or you can fall. And that's totally up to you. But the problem is, we were never taught this. So we stumbled through life, not knowing what the world was going on with us. And see, this is why God's bringing great revelation at this given time, because he's going to reveal to us things that the ministers have not yet seen in the Gospels. That one scripture somebody was talking about the other night, I think I told you, Brother Brett, to research that, didn't I? Because God said, you're not getting the true meaning out of that scripture. And so he told me what it was about. I told Brother Brett to research it and give a sermon on it. But, you know, guys, if you'll just understand who you are in Christ Jesus today, not who you were even yesterday, because yesterday you probably didn't know, but you are stronger in the Lord. You're a stronger and a better person than you were even 2 days ago, even a week ago. God is building up his body of believers, and we're going to be soldiers that the enemy will not be able to corrupt. The enemy will not be able to tear us down, because we've already been there. We've already been there. I don't know why, but the other day as I was working out my yard, I just had a greater love for what Paul did. You know, Paul worked for the enemy, did he not? He thought he was doing right, but he was working for the enemy, working with all of his heart. But then, whenever he got saved, you know, God knocked him off his donkey or whatever he did to him on that road. He got saved, and then he started working for God with all of his heart, just like he was for Satan. And he did not mind suffering for Christ, because he had already been on the other side of the road. And he knew it was nothing. But following God was the ultimate of living. And he was willing to suffer just so he could sit at the feet of Jesus. Come on. I mean, that just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was weeding my flower beds, and I just sat there and started crying. I said, God, if the whole body of Christ could understand what Paul understood, that it's so much better to serve God than it was to serve the devil. Somebody said to me the other day, well, you know, I don't like serving God, because if you serve God, you can't have any fun. If you have any fun, he's going to kill you. In other words, what they were saying, I want to go back to my old lifestyle. See, that person does not have the knowledge, the revelation knowledge of what it was to be a sinner, now to be a saint. Paul didn't care if he spent his life in a prison as long as he was serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The body of Christ doesn't feel like that, though, do they? They don't want to suffer. They want everything to be hunky-dory all the time. They want God to just give them a big mansion. They want God to give. You know, what if God, one time God had me ask the people, what if I never did another thing for you for the rest of your life? Would you still serve me? Every one of those people left the church. Now, if God's not doing something for the body of Christ, they're not going to serve him, because after all, the devil gives you everything. And I was listening to John Hagee today, and this person said that when he was serving the devil, the devil gave him anything he wanted. He had power and he had authority. He could kill somebody if he wanted to. He did everything for him. But Jesus doesn't do anything. That was his statement. Well, he's still serving the devil, but one day he'll get his ultimate reward. He'll sit in torment for the rest of his life. God gives us all power and all authority to tread on the serpents. He gives us power and authority to raise the dead, to heal the sick, see the blind eyes open, the deaf to hear. He gives us all power and authority. The body of Christ is just not using it. But see, when they work for the devil, they like, and God told me this one time years ago, some people just love what the devil allows them to do. And they won't serve me because they like it so much. And so I've been watching that ever since then, and what is for the last 10, 12 years. And what a truth that was. You might say, well, you know, I don't have any devils because you aren't getting anything out of me. No, that's not true. You have devils you want to keep. And they don't have to leave as long as you want to keep them. They can stay right there in that vessel. Come on. I'd rather suffer for Christ than I would serve the devil and end up in hell. I haven't seen anybody happy that serves the devil. They might think they're happy, but you just study them. They're not one lick happy, because they're always looking for more, always looking for more, always looking for more. Just like somebody said to me yesterday, they said, well, this guy was on drugs and he got arrested. So, of course, being in jail, he got off the drugs. And then he come out, he said, I just wanted to get high one more time. So he got high one more time. Then the next day, I'm going to get high one more time. Right back to being a full-blown drug addict. You know, God, Satan will let you get high all you want to get high. God will let you get high on the Holy Spirit. He'll let you have fun and rejoice. He allows you. He wants you to have fun and rejoice. He wants you to laugh and dance and kick your feet up and have a good time. He does. I just can't understand how come the world has such a sway on the house of God. I will never understand that. Because God is so good. God is so good. And I'm so glad that I sat one time in heavenly places and had a conversation with my Father and agreed to come down here and do the works that I'm doing. I'm glad I had that conversation. I'm thankful to Him that He let me go through many, many valleys. But I'm more thankful that He said, I was in the valleys with you. I'm so glad He let me go through the furnace of affliction over and over and over again to purify me. I'm so glad that He told me one time, I'm going to cut down your tree because your fruit has gotten bad. And I'm going to regrow the tree. And when I regrow it, people will be able to eat all the fruit that you have. I'm so glad that I serve a God who loves me enough to chasten me. Who loves me enough not to give me the things that will hurt me. Loves me enough that He has a place. My name's written in the land books of life. And He has a place already secured for me in heavenly places. If you're serving the devil, I'm so sorry for you. Because you don't know what true happiness is. You don't know what it is to lay your head down your bed at night on your pillow and all hell been broke loose all day long. But when you lay your head down that pillow, the sweet smell of Jesus comes into the room and He holds you as you sleep and even as you cry. And you wake up in the morning refreshed and renewed. There's nothing in hell worth losing my salvation over. Amen. Absolutely nothing. What God gives you is lasting. What the Satan gives you is just temporary. And all he's doing is trying to lure you into his snare so he can take you to hell and torment you. And all Jesus is doing is trying to just to love you so he can take you into heavenly places and where you can have total complete happiness the rest of your days. So it's up to you which one you pick, heaven or hell. It's totally up to you. And you know what? I really don't care what you pick because I'm just going to enjoy my ride. I'm going to start enjoying. Well, I made that decree a couple months ago. I'm going to enjoy my trip. And if you don't want to go on that trip with me, that's fine. You enjoy yours, I'll enjoy mine. But I know my trip's going to be a whole lot nicer than yours is. It doesn't matter if your spouse wants to serve God. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if your kids want to serve God. Matters, what are you doing with your life? How are you enjoying life? Amen. And right now, darkness is really dark. You know, if you have somebody near you and they have darkness in it, if you're watching, that darkness is getting as dark as it can get. And you think, how can it ever get any darker? But God said darkness and then gross darkness was going to cover the land. The gross darkness is going to come through people, you know. And so if you're watching those who haven't really received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you're going to find them getting darker and darker and darker and darker till you can't stand that darkness any longer. Didn't it get totally dark when Jesus died on the cross? That same darkness is covering the earth once again. Who are you going to serve? The dark or the light? That's totally your decision, not God's, not mine. It's totally yours. God's telling me to tell you that he extended his grace over and over and over again, and you haven't done anything with his grace. He said, what are you going to do with this grace that he's extended to you? What are you going to do with all that love is extended to you? In other words, whenever you keep getting messing up day in and day out, and he keeps extending you grace one more day, one more day, one more day. There's going to come a day when that grace is going to be cut off. In fact, God gave me a word for today, and that day is here. He said, I'm finished. I'm finished. If you want to read it, it's the word of the day. I think it's on the website. But that day is already here. Which side of the road were you on when God did it? Was you where God could still keep you? Or was you over there eternally lost? God's telling you, the door of salvation has already always been open, but very few walk through it. I think he talked about that in a word the other day. He said, just find everything to celebrate about, but you never celebrate your salvation. It's time, body of Christ, that we become true lights. That our light will shine continually, even in the dark, dark places. You might be hurting inside, but it doesn't have to show on the outside. Because, you know, when you're hurting on the inside, Jesus is in there and he's holding you in his arms. And you can just smile that, the biggest smile you ever had in your life. And you can just rejoice. And the devil's looking at you saying, are you stupid or what? You know? No. Even though I might be crying on the inside, I'm laughing on the outside because you're already defeated. Amen.